This morning we're going to be discussing our decision makings, and the consequences of some of those decisions. And what led me to this decision of this talk was a few talks ago when Brother Mac was having, he gave a talk about our decision making, about, you know, do we choose, what makes us choose to come to Sunday? What makes us choose to, or not choose to come to Wednesday night class? You know, and I'm sitting there in the back listening to it. And at first, I was, needless to say, I was very distraught. And I wasn't distraught over his words, because his words were dead on. I was distraught over how that entire talk I could relate to. And that becomes a problem. You know, I think we need more talks and exhortations to make us understand what we're doing. Because sometimes when we get through life, we just kind of just start. It's like pedaling a bicycle. You just go downhill, you just keep going. And as it becomes easier, it becomes more normalcy. And then we do tend to forget what is important in our life, and that would be Christ. And, you know, I listened to that talk, and, you know, it really resonated with me that, you know, we can come up with more excuses of why we can't do something, and why we don't do this, or why we don't do that, than the excuse of just doing it. There is no excuse. I have no excuse for not coming to Wednesday night class. There is none. I can sit here and say, I'm tired, I don't feel good. There is no excuse. You know, so when I stand in front of the Lord, that's what I'm going to tell him. Because that's what he knows. Now, what do you think that's going to do for me? Just too tired. What if Christ said he was just too tired? He didn't want to get up on that stake to be crucified. He just wasn't feeling it that day. You know, we all can sit here and talk about how, you know, how we feel, and, you know, imagine what our brother went through and the pain and agony that he went through for us. And for us to have the excuses of just didn't feel it. And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about anyone else in this room. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about what I got out of that talk. And there's just no excuse for it, for me. So that's what brought me to this talk today, was that talk of our decision makings. And what, you know, there's good consequences and there's bad consequences. You know, I've always told my older daughter, Kayla, you know, when she was in high school, she went through a couple of things that, you know, we had to work through. And I always told her, I said, you know, no matter what, good or bad, there's a consequence for what we do in life. No matter what, good or bad. And you have to live with that. You have to live with that decision that you ultimately make. You have to live with it. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon thy table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto them, unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with thy first fruits of thine increase. Shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son is whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than the fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay upon, that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, that shall lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be the confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, but it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. We're going to pull up some scriptures that depict some good decision making, some examples of bad decision making, and some examples in the scripture. And you know, I believe they're here. You know, these things that happen in the Bible are for us. That, you know, this Bible that we read every day, that we study, is for us to learn and to hopefully not fall into the mistakes that the formal brothers have done. And it's made for us to help us, to guide us, and to direct us in the way that we should be acting. Every day we make many decisions, most of which are routine, such as what to eat, what to wear, and where we go. Occasionally, man's choices result in unexpected joy and happiness, while others bring great disappointment and heartaches. Often, we are called upon to make major choices that affect the entire family relationship, which can involve religion, our jobs, with possible relocation, or life and death matters. Probably all of us have known individuals who have made some bad decisions and others who have made some good decisions. And others, made some good decisions and made some bad decisions. Regardless of whether good or bad, our choices have some type of consequence. Each day, we face choices involving our growth and the knowledge of God and our understanding of how we can obey His commands so we can please Him. First one, will we be honest in our business? Will we be honest in our business, our family, and or our spiritual life? Will we be faithful to ourself, to our spouse, and our children? Will we be faithful to ourself, our spouse, and children? Will we control our mind, our eyes, and our tongue? Will we give thanks to God in all things? And we were just talking about that in class, about praying. You know, to understand prayer is to give thanks to God in all things, is to give Him all the glory. It's not to pray to ask for more things, ask for more, we watched a couple of shows that they prayed for more gold. It just brings you down, like they really think they can pray for gold. And, you know, we're supposed to be praying for God, to God, to give thanks for everything that we do have. And to give Him the glory for all things that we have. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. And I was doing this, I was amazed. There's a lot in Genesis. That was some bad decision making. Genesis 3. We'll just start out in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That, I would say, would be one of the first bad decisions that were made that are recorded. Let's turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 10 through 13. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. again, this is a decision that Abram made for his wife to try to save her from being killed was to promote her as his sister. Instead of leaving it up to God, to let God to decide and let God make the decision, he took the decision himself and took that out of God's hands. Let's turn to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verses 10 and 11. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram, let me read 12. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's turn to Genesis 16. Genesis 16, verses 1 through 3. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Let's turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. 1 through 4. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto them, unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we not what he's become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off their golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Let's turn over to Acts. Acts chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. But a certain man named Ananias, which Sapphiras, his wife, sold a possession. He kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's turn to Matthew's 26. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me, and I'll deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And that time he sought opportunity to betray him. And the last one, Matthew 27, 1 through 2. 1 and 2. Matthew's 27, 1 and 2. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. So these are just a handful of decision making. There's a whole lot more, but these are ones that I tried to, that I know were, that stood out, that the decision makings that they made had a consequence to them, and these decisions were taken out of God's hands. They decided to make their decisions on their own, as we do today. We think we know more, or I guess better. Again, I'm talking about me, than God does, because there's certain things that we try to handle that we can't handle. And, you know, instead of realizing that, you know, we should pray and we should draw nigher to God. You know, when we have these troubles in our lives, and, you know, it's to continue to stay with Him, be close to God, to always be praying for the things that, you know, that are correct. You know, thanking God for everything that we do have. And to never forget, not to make the decisions that we make. Let God make the decision. Pray to God. Let God make the decision. And whatever that decision is, that's the decision. That's the decision God's made for us. Whether it's our work, whether if it's our life, our religion, our place at home, whatever that decision is, we have to live with it, because that's what God has chosen for us. We are His children. And that goes to another thing when, you know, sometimes I sit there, you know, and I do a talk, or I'm thinking, and I'm like, what makes me, I wouldn't say special, but what makes me one of God's children? I mean, out of all these millions of people in the world, what makes me so special to be brought out of the world to know the truth and to be able to have that opportunity to learn and study and to be one of God's children? Everyone in this world that are out from this building think they're God's children, and they're not. And that's the scary part for them, is that we know the truth. They really do not know the truth. And it just resonates in my mind. Why me? Why, you know, why has nothing to do with anyone else, it has to do with me. Of what makes me, you know, everything that I've done in my life, what does God see in me to be one of His children, to try to, you know, promote, to spread the gospel to people, to try to, you know, make people understand and to make better decision makings, to draw closer and to near, because that's all we're here for today. And what we try to do, we try to draw close to God, we try to understand, we try to be the best that we can be in our heart. And that all results into our decision making. Let's turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 105. Psalms 119, verse 105. We're going to read a few scriptures on what it tells us for decision making, on verses. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I know we read this already, but we're going to start it out. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Turn over to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Psalms 32, verse 8. Psalms 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Turn over to James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and he shall be given him. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts in your minds through Christ Jesus. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And in closing, I'm going to read chapter Psalms 25. Psalms 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles. Thank you. We will continue with our memorial hymn of singing 153. By Christ redeemed and Christ restored, we keep the memory adored. And so the death of our dear Lord, until he come, 153. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith and to this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God in the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is as of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when we come to this table this morning to remember our brother, the decision making that he would have made through his life. And that he knew what he was destined for. And he did it willingly. He did it for the love of his Father. He took the torment. He took the ridicule. He was beaten. All for the love of his father. That was the decision that Christ made. With that, we'll turn to the account, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I call him Brother Rick to give thanksgiving for the bread.
Almighty, merciful, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we approach unto thy throne of grace now at this time as we gather around this table.
We call on Brother Daniel for the thanksgiving of the wine.